Hello.
It's me.
I've been wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet.
No.
Well,
you're not Mackenzie.
Oh, are we started?
I guess.
Have we started?
Unless you have an intro specifically planned out.
No, I don't.
We could pretend you are Mackenzie.
No, I simply couldn't, because I could never be as awesome or beautiful
that
as
is
Mackenzie.
True.
People would know.
It's pretty messed up that you're here right now, and I have to look at you.
Serious imposter syndrome, everyone. Serious imposter syndrome. Now, who am I?
Just guess.
No. Don't guess. I'm going to tell you. My name is Carly Strait. I know Ned from the podcast Dungeons, Dice, and Everything Nice. I can't believe we are podcasting together again for this one-off special, never-to-happen-again episode, unless you request otherwise.
Unless you request in droves. A million people listen to this episode, and they realize they need something very specific injected into their lives. And typically on the show, Mackenzie and I talk about Desperate Housewives, and we're not doing that today. We're talking about Boy Meets World.
Wow. Boy Meets World. And why would we ever be talking about a show called Boy Meets World, Ned?
Well, very interesting that you ask that, Carly. We are talking about Boy Meets World today because this is kind of a Marsha crossover.
Whoa, Marsha crossover.
Marsha Cross was in the later seasons of Boy Meets World as Topanga's mom.
And you guys, this was a recast. Let me tell you, there was another actress playing Topanga's mother. Ned, what was that actress's name?
Annette O'Toole.
All right. Now, clearly, Marsha Cross came in for reasons we do not know. But the character's name of Topanga's mom is Rhiannon Lawrence. This is important for everyone to know.
This really is, because we are talking about an episode that specifically gets very deep into Rhiannon Lawrence.
Rhiannon's personal life, I would say, because it has a lot to do with her daughter.
Yes.
Yes.
For those of you who do not know the show Boy Meets World, it is about this woman and
about
her
Rhiannon
son.
Lawrence.
Yeah, and her daughter, and how they are. It's mostly about her son and how he's going through the world.
Yeah, essentially. And the trials and tribulations that come with wanting to be a young pop star. Mm-hmm. And she grapples with that. And he eventually decides, I don't want to be a pop star. I want to be a priest.
Yeah. And that's in season one.
After that,
he's not in the show anymore.
No, the son's not in the show, and it's simply just, we're kidding, guys. Have you ever seen Boy Meets World? If anyone out there hasn't seen Boy Meets World, I recommend not walking, but running to, what streaming service did you use?
It's on Disney Plus
right
now.
On Disney Plus, which is crazy because you told me, Ned, that Boy Meets World had to be taken off Disney at a certain point because they were going to college and they wanted to talk about sex.
Yeah, they were getting into a bit more serious plot lines. Like, there are plot lines where Sean gets drunk. There's an episode with the mafia.
You're kidding. Is it funny?
Yeah, it's strange.
Mafia, notoriously funny.
they wanted to start talking about more adult subjects, and Disney just was not having it. And I may be getting some information wrong, but I believe it was, it was taken off. And it was either put on, I think it was put on ABC.
Yeah.
And
well, that's
going to
happen a lot,
there.
By the way. We're going to get a lot of information wrong. We're going to get
it's all going to right. Just don't Google it.
Yeah, just don't look it up. Just trust us, because you're listening to this podcast.
We are in season 7, episode 7 of Boy Meets World. It is called, Mackenzie does such a good job at this, and I'm doing such a bad job.
With this, and I'm doing a bad job too, which is why I'm not as good.
Oh, it's called It's About Time.
Oh, It's About Time. And why, Ned, why is it called It's About Time? Because what has been going on up until this moment? I mean,
so for those of you who have not seen Boy Meets World, it is just about this boy named Corey. He lives in, like, a very generic middle-class suburban home. He has a brother, a sister, and two parents. And he loves Philly.
Oh, my God.
He has
much.
Oh, yeah. He has a friend who lives in a trailer park for a majority of the show. And then he has a love interest named Topanga.
Dun, dun, dun. Just kidding. She's awesome.
She's amazing. Topanga is great. And this show originally came out in 1993, and this episode aired in 1999.
Wow.
America was waiting 6 years. I mean, I guess it would be kind of weird if they were waiting since they were actual children.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were children when they started the show.
Absolutely.
But what I'm trying to say is this specific episode is about Corey and Topanga's wedding.
Oh my God. It is the Ross and Rachel for teenagers, folks.
It is.
Yeah. And I stole that from Ned earlier. They did say that.
Yes,
and it's so true. It's so true. I mean, I couldn't have put it better myself.
Yeah. And we start this episode with basically Marcia Cross right away.
Oh my gosh. Straight away, Marcia Cross. It is promising. It is a promising Marcia crossover episode. The reason we are watching this to talk to you about it is because we know that you love Marcia on Desperate Housewives, and we are getting ready to love her even more.
In this episode.
In this episode of Boy Meets World. It's huge.
It's huge. She, in this first scene, yeah, even, she steals the show.
Oh my God. She is brushing Topanga's hair, getting her ready to walk down the aisle.
Do you think she might? I thought she might have was going to do a braid situation.
Yeah, but she didn't. I mean, no. She just simply brushed the hair and Topanga wore it down. Nothing special.
And I think it's very beautiful.
And what was, well, okay, I'm going to ask the listeners to just remember what Topanga's hair looks like, because we're going to later talk about what Marcia's hair looked like in the wedding scene.
Yes.
We're going to go back to that because somebody might have put a little more effort into their own look than their daughter's
Which,
on the wedding
day. Okay, this is not your day.
I know. Do not distract in the front row.
Do not.
Simply do not distract in the front row. Now, this episode, can't stress this enough, 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
22. Including the theme song.
Yeah.
Which, how does it go?
Boy Meets World, Boy Meets World. Boy Meets World.
That's exactly how it went. And like, you guys, you can't help but sing along.
No. Don't try.
No, don't try. Well, you could. But it's not going to be as good as us.
No. You will fail.
Mm-hmm. So, we've already discussed what we open on. And then there is basically this issue where Sean is struggling with the fact that Topanga and Corey are getting married and he's losing his best friend.
Yeah.
And, you know,
classic.
Classic. And what does Marcia do? She's in the room, might I say.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't hear a peep out of her.
She does nothing.
There's nothing. Sean storms in while everyone's getting married and starts complaining. Okay, talking shit on Corey. Topanga's like, you need to calm down. It's my wedding day. Don't ruin it. Marcia, I guess, is holding the brush still.
Well, oh.
Topanga's like, not in the chair anymore.
Of course, she's
Marcia
holding the brush.
Marcia starts doing her hair, I bet. Marcia starts getting in her own makeup.
That's true.
This is when Marcia decided the day's about me. Rihanna.
That is a good point. I think if you look in the background, you can really see it in her eyes that she starts to take control of the whole situation.
They didn't give Marcia much in this scene, but she, I'm sure, was doing character work even when the cameras weren't on her. So I'm going to give her that credit in this scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next up, we go on. I mean, should we just go through the plot, Ned? Like,
yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's so simple. We could state it in like three sentences.
Yeah, I mean, this plot is basically Sean and Corey fighting the entire episode because they don't want to talk to each other because they're sad.
About losing their friendship due to marriage.
Which,
let's get a grip.
Come on.
That's not going to happen.
Come on, boys. You two are in love.
I guess it was the 90s, so, like, maybe I'd hope nowadays I'd get married and my best friend won't be like, so Ned won't be like, I'm losing you because you're married.
I'm never going to see you again.
I'm never going to see you again? What is that? What? That sounds horrible.
Don't you know when you get
sounds
married?
Sounds like a horrible marriage.
You can only be let outside of the house if you write on the sign-in sheet.
Yeah.
Well, and it's a global sign-in sheet, so it's really sporadic for when you can go out.
It is a freaky thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes Stuart asks me if, like, he's like, do I have plans on Thursday? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not boss here. Yeah. You know, and it freaks me out. I'm like, no. No one's losing anybody. We're all in charge of our own destiny here, so. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But basically, in this episode, Corey gets rid of Sean as his best man because they start fighting before the wedding, and he gets his brother.
Ron Stoppable. Sean? No. What? Eric. Oh, yeah. My God. When I watched the show as a little, when I watched the show as a little girl, I would always confuse Sean and Eric's name, and I'm still doing it as a 26-year-old to this day. It's awesome.
You're sticking to your roots.
You know, they're both like white men, similar height with that floopy hair look.
Yes.
But one's goofy and one is from the trailer park.
Yeah. One of them is a bad boy with a heart of gold and one of them is pure idiot.
Which Ned pointed out, and I do love this, that in the beginning of the show,
he's not dumb.
He's
just normal.
Eric's
he's like
a normal brother.
Yeah.
But then they were like, wait. Idiot. And so they just wrote an absolute idiot into the script. And I have to say, like, while we were watching it, I kept turning to Ned saying, I love him. He is so funny.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. And because it holds up. He holds up. I wonder where he is now, that actor.
He's still doing voice acting.
Good. Yeah. Good. We need that from him. So Sean steps in as, or Eric steps, see, I'm doing it again. Yeah. Eric steps in as the best man, and the normal tomfoolery happens.
Yeah.
Basically, Topanga walks down the aisle, and they start getting married, and then Sean comes in, and he causes a scene. They have a big fight where Corey calls him, and these are his words, trailer trash.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and about 5 seconds later, they're, like, crying to each other.
In front of everyone.
And if I was Topanga, I'd be pissed.
Well, first of all, she deals with this all the time. And second,
which is all the more reason to be pissed.
She does technically come up to him in that scene, and she goes, hi.
Yeah.
I've been very patient. Get the fuck out of here.
She should have said fuck for
sure.
Yeah,
she should have.
But, I mean, we can talk about sex, but we can't say fuck.
Well, they can't say they're having sex. Mm-hmm. Like, because they never say that we are having sex, you know? Mm-hmm. They just say that they are going to do it.
Yeah.
They just say, be careful. They never say the word, unless it's like sexual
or
sexuality.
Feeny gave advice.
I feel like the word sexuality is different than sex.
For sure.
Yeah.
And they wanted to talk about sex so badly, but they made sure that Mr. Feeny came in and said, now, don't be too vulgar about it. It's about the intimacy and the vulnerability between two people. It's a beautiful thing. Because Mr. Feeney's also getting married. We don't really see him again in the episode.
Well, that was when we were watching a different episode.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, wait. So for context, Ned did put on another episode. And we watched it for about 5 minutes, and these episodes are so short that I just merged them together. Because then we realized, oh, this is the wrong episode. They're not getting married in this one.
Yeah.
So Mr. Feeny was really in it for not long at all.
No.
His character, by the way, at this point, has since, you know, the story started, he was like the principal. He's followed them to college by now.
Yeah.
That's weird.
For those of you who want to get just a picture of Mr. Feeny in your head, picture, I want to say,
old man.
Old wise man.
That peeks his head over the fence while trimming the hedges and goes,
hey, neighbor.
Hey.
Like in Home Improvement.
Well, how are you? Oh, my God. That's a really good Mr. Feeny.
Yeah.
Well, how are you? Sean. Sean. Corey. I'm worried. That is a really good Mr. Feeny.
Oh, yeah.
I'm freaking out. Wait, Ned. What was Rhiannon and Lawrence doing during all this conflict? Because if I'm the mother of the bride and my daughter's wedding is kind of being trampled on by some drama,
I would console her.
You have to console her. You have to step in and say, hey, guys, maybe we take it outside and then we resume the wedding. We resume the wedding after you figured this out because no one needs to see all this. And we just cut to her sitting for a reaction shot, and we see the result of her hair. Now, what is she wearing in her hair?
She has chopsticks.
Chopsticks in a bun. The telltale sign that Topanga has a, quote-unquote, like, I guess, hippie mom. Because I think in the late 90s, that was, like, supposed to signify, that, like, I'm kind of, you know, not, like, the typical Midwest mom or whatever.
I don't know why. Chopsticks? I think the reasoning behind it is because, you know, it's exotic, quote unquote.
Right.
Because white people are insane.
Yeah.
And I say that as white people.
No, for real. I went, yeah, and I'm like, who started that trend? And how genius did they think they were when they were like, oh my God, how cute. Look at this. Seriously, you guys, if you have a bun, just secure it. With like your old takeout chopsticks.
Yeah, you so use cute. Them, just wash them off.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I just wash them off and I dry them a little bit, wipe them down, put them in my bun, and I take the little hairs of the bun and I make spikies.
Yeah.
Like I kind of fray it. So it looks like maybe I was just in the studio all afternoon throwing clay.
But I'm not dirty.
No, and my ex-husband, we actually get along.
For now.
For now, yeah. We're going to have sex at one point.
Whoa.
Yeah, me and my ex-husband. You guys get the vibe of this kind of character, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, just a couple sentences and you guys get the vibe.
And her dress is also just like matching the vibe of the hair, you know? And you're like, what? We need this character. We need more of this character besides the costume. The costumer is working so hard to justify the fact that Marcia Cross has not said one line. On her daughter's wedding day.
Can I say something?
I would love for you to.
This might be a character choice.
Do you think Marcia asked for Rhiannon Lawrence to look this way?
I don't think that, but I think the lack of consoling her child, not stepping in when things are obviously wrong.
Yeah.
I think that maybe Rhiannon Lawrence isn't too proud of Topanga.
Whoa. Well, yeah. I mean, like, she's getting married so young, and maybe she disagrees with that.
I saw
they're in college.
Can I say something as well? I saw a theory online. What? Due to how they talk about Topanga's parents' age, as well as the children's age and everything.
Yeah.
And how Topanga has referenced how her parents have known each other since high school. Her mother may have given birth to her at 18.
Whoa.
So it could be like, do not make the same mistake I'm making, even though she's not pregnant.
Yeah.
But like, she could have gotten married because of that, and she could be seeing a lot of, herself. I don't want you to get married at such a young age because I did that and it did not work out because her and Topanga's father are divorced.
Whoa, now that you're saying that, her silence speaks volumes.
Yeah, right.
And that is the reason why the writers chose to do what they did.
Yeah.
It wasn't about because they had not discovered Marcia Cross's talents yet. And by the way, we have a theory about that as well,
yes.
And that connects back to Desperate Housewives. I don't know if we're there yet in the conversation. But we wanted to, I guess, I mean, let's talk about the ending of the episode, go over some of the things that we thought were interesting, maybe.
Yeah, just to wrap up a little bit, because we're basically at the end since we talked about Marcia.
But then we do think we have a theory about how she ended up on DH.
Yes, we do. So the end of this episode is basically Corey and Topanga go and have sex.
Oh, yeah.
They rush off in front of everybody so everybody knows that they're having sex.
Well, because Eric presents them with the hotel room key and they go, wow. And everyone in the room, including maybe this could have been one of Marcia's one line, goes, woo!
Oh, yeah. Strange. And then we find out that Eric stole this wedding venue from, like, a millionaire, and they gotta run and scatter. And I know we didn't really talk about Eric that much, but
we love Eric.
We love Eric.
Yeah, and Eric has some fun, like, character just moments in this, like, where he also, the actor, plays another character with a mustache that he supposedly stole this wedding venue from. There's a lot to unpack here, and clearly, you know, he had someone on his team in the writer's room that was saying, this guy is a comedic genius, we need to showcase him.
And they did.
And they did. Yeah, they did exactly that. And we are grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, he was Ron Stoppable.
Yes.
Yeah. And so everybody's, you know, was coming, there was a lot of people coming to the show to see him and see his chops.
And it kind of, actually, I'm going to talk about the theory.
Please.
Because if so many people were watching this show for him, and this was a titular episode of Boy Meets World, the wedding episode.
Whoa.
people were probably watching probably saw Marsha, saw how deep she got with the character, even though she was given so little. Boy Meets World was on ABC, and so was Desperate Housewives. The executive saw her, and they cast her in Desperate Housewives.
This is huge, because they put Marsha in over another actress. They literally cut another actress. They said, Marsha Cross, you were playing Topanga, Topanga's mom, Rhiannon Lawrence, and you are going to make some choices, and we're watching you, because we have some projects in the making, works. In the works. We got Eva Longoria on board.
It's going to be a couple years down the line, but Terry Hatcher said yes.
Terry Hatcher's already in. Oh, yeah. We know you don't know Eva Longoria quite yet, but you will, and you will continue for the rest of your life. And Nicole Eadie. I love her. She flew on one of my dad's flights once. My dad, notoriously an airline pilot, flew her. Ned is ferociously typing. It is Nicole Sheridan.
Nicole Sheridan.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Love. But so, anywho, we got distracted. But so, we were like, me and Ned were basically coming to the very significant realization that the network saw her, they saw her choices, and they decided, you know what, maybe this free-spirited mom, not so much. Let's put her as the most uptight character on a mega, mega hit, Desperate Housewives.
Oh, yeah.
And so everything happens for reasons, you guys. Trust your journey.
Yeah. And sure, Marsha Cross had other acting gigs before this. Sure. She was on Melrose Place for a few years.
Who?
What? Never heard of it. But this is where we believe she got her true start.
Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful.
It really is. And I want to thank all of you for going on this journey with us.
Oh my gosh.
It was...
What a ride.
Oh God, what a ride.
And you know what the most beautiful part is?
What?
I hate to interrupt, but the most beautiful part of it all was not only did Marsha Cross get her start on Boy Meets World, but so did the Tipton Hotel.
Fuck. Yeah, you're right. We almost
didn't talk about this.
Corey and Topanga do get married in the Tipton Hotel. There is an exterior shot of the place they get married at. And yes, that is the Tipton Hotel.
Without the words Tipton on it, just a green awning.
Which means Marsha Cross is 1 degree away from Hannah Montana.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm going to say it, this is canon. Marsha Cross's character, Rhiannon Lawrence, right? Mm-hmm. Rhiannon Lawrence is a sister of Zach and Cody's mom, the lounge singer.
Holy,
don't they have the same energy?
Shit.
They have the same exact energy, the vibe, the characters. Wow.
That's a fact.
And that's canon. And Mr. Mosby was in training. He was somewhere in the hotel training. Yeah. He was really young back then. Whoa. Before he met London.
She was London a baby.
Was a baby, yeah.
And I don't know. Do you have anything else to talk about this episode?
I did write some notes, so let's just make sure.
Yeah, let's just go over your notes, and we'll snowball real quick.
Ned, how do we forget?
What?
All right, and this episode is basically in honor of, like, you guys, Stanford from Sex and the City is in this episode. Willie Gerritsen is in this episode, and
is this the honorable mention since you got the Tipton Hotel?
There are some major Easter eggs in this episode that if you go back and watch it, because you listened to the pod,
yeah.
And you said, I gotta go back and watch this, just please look out for the Tipton Hotel and look for Stanford from Sex and the City, because they are significantly, you think that they are underserving Marsha Cross in this episode? They did not know what they had. They did not know who they had and what they had and what they could do with him in this character. He was just officiating the wedding. He said nothing funny, nothing remotely witty.
No.
And if you're also a Sex and the City fan like myself, I mean, fan, that's a strong word, but you enjoy watching the show for various reasons, you'll know that this is an injustice to Hollywood, to actors, to the viewers at home.
Yeah, to
who
you.
Who just want to have a laugh.
Holy crap.
And that's kind of, that's my ending note.
Okay.
I did have a little thing I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
So in the episode, one of the things that's like starting the fighting between Sean and Corey is Sean messes up putting the cans on the back of the car for the send off, and he puts them on the wrong car. But he also puts bean cans. He uses bean cans, and Corey says, "Why did you get bean cans? That is not the right type of can you use for a send off, you know, can situation." And I wanted to ask you, Ned, what is the right can for that situation?
That's a very good question. Mm-hmm. And that actually ties into something that we do for Wisteria Gaze.
Oh, you're kidding.
Where at the end of every episode, we ask a question to everybody to try to get those review juices flowing if they want to leave us a review.
This is unplanned. This is completely unplanned.
And I will gladly answer that question and also open it up to everybody else. Mm-hmm. What are wedding cans? I think the best kind of wedding can is a thick tuna can.
Oh my gosh. So shallow.
So shallow.
You have a ton.
Makes a bunch of noise.
Little noise, you know, like a bunch of little. So it's like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah, it's like a condensed noise. You know, yeah. Too, it's not like, it doesn't echo.
Yeah.
What about you?
Cream of anything.
Cream of anything. Oh, cream, yeah.
Yeah, because you know what they're doing.
You know what they're doing.
You know what they're about to do. They've never done it, so they're doing it, and it's creamy.
Yeah.
So, that's mine.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to this beautiful episode that I think we're calling Marcia Crossover.
The Marcia Crossover.
Boy Meets World Edition.
Wow.
If you like another one of these episodes, please.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Spam our inbox. And good night.
Good night.